Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Inside the Comedian with me, David Reed. In this episode, I'll be interviewing Cariad Lloyd.
Comedian. Actor. Pilates instructor. Romantic novelist. Cynical playwright. Sauce pot. Gravy boat. Butter dish spoon. Welcome to Inside the Comedian.
Thank you for having me.
It's lovely to see you.
I'm so glad you mentioned spoon.
Yes.
But
yes.
Let's not go into it.
We won't go into the hows and the whys and the wherefores of the fact you were once a spoon. How is the whole acting thing going? I mean, are you managing to pay the bills or is it going okay?
I don't sleep well. But am I allowed to reference Margaret's episode?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm almost 100% sure it will air. So,
but no, same as Margaret. So I just had a baby. So for a year, nobody wanted to hire me.
That's right? People don't hire the pregnant.
No, they don't. And they say things like,
"Recently unpregnant."
Yeah, they say things like, "Oh, does she want to come in? It's a shop assistant." And then you go, "Oh, I'm pregnant." They go, "Oh, the shop assistant isn't pregnant." And then my mum kept going, "They did it for Olivia Colman."
But that's not, you can't abide prepare. By that rule.
No.
I mean, you simply can't. I mean, Olivia is a force unto herself.
Exactly.
She's the only one allowed to be pregnant.
She is the only one. She took the pregnancy, she took it, and then all the rest of us, that was it.
That was it. She took the role. There's one prego allowed. Done. So, who in the industry,
yes.
Cariad, do you have a serious beef with? What's the goss? Come on.
Where to begin?
Yes. Well, who is your number one major beef?
You.
Right. Fine. Yes, of course, because of child support. But who's the number two? More sort of whimsical and chatty beef.
It's hard to be whimsical when you've got to pay the bills, don't you?
Well, absolutely. I can see that, but please try.
If it's not you, is there anyone else in the industry?
Yes, definitely. Because I'm not getting all the male roles, and you're sure as hell not getting all the female ones. So, I mean, if we can commit that much time to BBC Three and no one saw it, then I think...
We committed so much time.
So much time.
And nobody did.
Nobody
anyone
saw
did?
It. Well, I didn't tell anyone because of shame.
Yes. But, David and I did a series on sexual health.
Yes.
True.
Ironic, considering our baby in a bag with some.
I have beef with Susan.
Susan?
Yes.
Okay. Of
I don't
we
want
all
to
know.
Mention surnames.
No, you know because that would be about. Indiscreet. Mm.
Susan's a bitch.
Total bitch.
Yep.
Everyone knows it.
Everyone knows it. No one wants to say it, but you know what? I said it.
You did say it.
Susan is a bitch, and also Greg.
Greg is a total
bitch.
Yeah,
he can be a bitch.
I mean, at the moment, you're just naming the cast of one of my plays. But a specific one as well. But
one
that's
of the
fine.
Plays that I wasn't in. So.
Yeah, no, and you
You only hire me for your sexual health work.
I can't have you financially solvent, because then you'll leave. That is... if we could avoid all this unpleasantness for a moment.
Well, that's what I said to you the night it happened.
I know. I would not desist. Yes, but...
And now here we are, baby in a bag.
Baby in a bag.
At baby a small in a bag. Venue in Islington.
Very quiet baby. If we could go back to the very beginning. Before that. Okay. When did you first realise you wanted to be the only one talking in a room?
I think it was when I was a brownie. And when you are a brownie, you're dedicated. It's a commitment. You have to be there every week. And it's hard. And you have to serve God, the Queen, and keep the Brownie Guide law.
Is that the list? You serve God.
Yeah, I promise to do my duty, serve the Queen, help serve God.
I think you've added that one.
No, it's basically a small Christian cult.
Is it?
Yes.
Right, and but where all of the cultists have to be small girls.
Yes.
It's a very specific cult, isn't it? I mean, they've really...
Who gets stuff done? Small girls.
I've not noticed that.
Who does their homework? Small girls.
Well, yes. I guess, yes.
Yes.
Yes, well, they certainly do their homework.
Yeah, if you want something done, you're not going to ask you. You're going to ask a small girl.
Well, I wasn't aware the sole purpose of cults was to get stuff done.
My parents were in a cult.
Were they? What did they worship?
They worshipped self-help.
Self-help. The god of self-help.
Yeah.
Well, how did the god of self-help manifest?
Oh,
a sort of goat-headed beast.
Wanking on stage.
A man wanking on stage. There was a stage in this cult.
There's always a stage. I think I first realised when I was a brownie that I wanted everyone in the brownies to go away. And I thought, that's really what comedians are doing, I think.
Absolutely.
They're just saying, go away, but also love me. And as a brownie, that's what I said.
Yes. I mean, you very...
To my sixer. I disobeyed my sixer.
What is a sixer?
Oh,
a level sixer in the cult. They've paid about £250,000 and they've got to level six.
When you become a brownie... This is true. When you
I wasn't a brownie. They wouldn't let me in.
White men discriminate against again.
Again and again and again.
When you become a brownie, this is true. There's a... this is what happened to me. There's a papier-mâché toadstool... And everyone, this is true.
No, this is how I realised
it was a cult many years later. But my parents were in a cult, so I was comfortable. So there's a toadstool in the middle, and then everyone stands in a circle around the toadstool, and the new girl, this is true, is taken by the hand and led around the toadstool while you all sing.
What do you sing?
Welcome to the group. Welcome to the group. Don't hurt God.
And then the song just ends. Like your life's purpose could never end that song. No.
And then you do the brownie salute, and you put that on the toadstool, and the other hand goes like
that. What on the
your
toadstool?
Hand, the brownie salute on the toadstool.
Right,
and that's when you say the code.
This is an audio medium. We need to explain.
Your thumb and your little finger are hugging. And then there's three, which I guess probably is the Trinity, isn't it? Probably. Always is, isn't it?
It always is, whenever it's straight. Always
it's the Trinity.
It's always the Trinity. And so you decided whilst in this...
No, do you know what it was? I wanted to be an actor and they wouldn't let me, so I decided to become a comedian.
They wouldn't let you? The brownies wouldn't let you become an actor? The brownies have specific purposes for all of their cultists? They want you to spread amongst society as sleeper agents.
I tried to do my performer's badge.
And they wouldn't let you?
No, I did get that, but I did better at the hostessing badge. As a hostessing badge, you just make a cup of tea. What are they teaching the children?
Well, how to make tea.
Yes.
On a plane. Is that what... Not an air hostess.
Hostessing, and you have to make a tablecloth. This is true.
I'm pretty sure most hostesses can just buy a tablecloth. Isn't that not the case?
No, but that's what they're teaching the small children.
Oh,
you always
dear.
Have to make it.
Well, if we could go back to comedy instead of cults of small girls.
Yeah.
I am finding fascinating, but it's probably a separate show. You took your first show to Edinburgh,
yes.
Where you displayed a dizzying array of tonally similar characters. Now, were they based on people you knew in the brownies or from your parents or what do you think? Where did they come from?
One of them was in a cult, so maybe perhaps one of them was did the admin for a cult.
Did the admin for a cult?
But she didn't know it was a cult. It was Judith.
Right.
And she was in love with a guru. That was definitely from my parents because they were in a cult.
Okay. And what about the others?
Andrew, well, I did a character, Andrew is a small boy, and I think we'll all agree, every female character comedian must do a small boy.
Absolutely.
Since the Crankies, that is
absolutely
the rule.
They have to do a small boy. Yeah. They have to do some sort of instructional lecture.
Instructional lecture. A bride and it's gone wrong.
A bride and it's gone wrong.
Yeah.
And then another one for time.
Yes. Yes. That's often a wife.
A wife, yes.
Exasperated wife, which Margaret
called June, because that's when you had to come up with it.
Or Peggy, if you're middle class, it'd be June. But if you're working class, you'd do Peggy, and you'd make it Cockney or Northern, depending on your working classness. I suppose he'll come home. Cup of tea.
I'd love one.
That was my Northern character.
I know it well.
Oh.
I know it well. All of the dinner ladies at my school were called June. All of them.
All of them.
It was uncanny.
We didn't call them by their first names.
Really? No, neither did we. But they would call throughout their workplace, as they were allowed to do at my school. They were allowed to speak in public.
And
they would just be like, June! That's the meatloaf. It's in front of you. Oh yes.
We had Mrs. Petkin.
Mrs. Petkin.
Mrs. Petkin, who was about 4 foot, and there was a boy in the school who was extremely violent, and she was the only one who could restrain him, and she used to put him in a headlock. It's true. And they'd be like, Andre's gone mad, get Mrs. Petkin. And she'd be like, come here. And then she'd headlock him and he'd calm down.
Just let him burn out.
Yeah. And all the other teachers would be like, I'm not going near Andre. Oh, God, he's gone mad again.
Wow. Have you ever based a character on Mrs. Petkin?
No, and I... Perhaps I will.
Yeah. Base it on your life. It'll be more nuanced.
That's not how character comedy works, as you know.
No, I know. I know.
As you know, David.
You pick a voice you can already do, and then... and find a hat in a drawer.
Yes. If you're a girl, you go to a charity shop.
Right.
We don't have hats and drawers. If you're a girl, you go to a charity shop and you pick a jumper, and then you ask for your mum's old glasses.
And as long as she has 5 pairs, you're fine.
Oh, she will. Of course, even if she has perfect sight, she'll have 5 pairs of old glasses. She's
absolutely
a mum.
It's what happened.
Yeah,
then.
That's how you do character comedy. Or also, if you're a girl, you would need a pair of high heels.
Yes, of course.
Which doesn't work for male character comedy, I've noticed. That means you have to have a waistcoat.
Or what else have I tried? A coat? I mean, that was a particularly invigorating one, I have to say.
I've never tried a coat.
Oh, yes, because when you move, it moves differently.
I'll try that.
Yes. It flows behind
the
you.
The worst was I did a character called Joey Bechamel, who was a spoof Zoe Deschanel, who was, like, super cute, and the entire outfit was my own. And I was sort of spoofing, like, oh, these girls, you were so sweet, pretend to be dits, but it was my clothes. And I thought, this is me.
Yes, yes. And the reviews reflected that. now that you're a ubiquitous
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
television presence.
Yes.
Appearing all over the bloody shop. Mm. I mean, panel shows, sitcoms.
Someone's got to pay for the baby.
Yeah, someone has. Have you found your home there? Do you think is television where you will grow old and die? Is that the medium? Is that your medium?
In a television?
No. It's on television. Do you have aspirations outside of that? Would you like to move into podcasts, or would you like to, theatre or film?
I have moved into podcasts.
Well, you have. I mean, this we won't have you on again, but yes, you have.
No, I do my own podcast.
Oh yes, do you?
Mm.
Mm, I listen to it all the time.
It's about death.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Mm.
Let's not go there.
No?
Because I don't do mine in front of an audience.
Do you not?
No, because it's about death, David.
These guys love death. It's the funniest thing.
It is. It's hilarious. No, I do mine.
I mean, people, you know, they have aspirations and dreams. They spend their whole lives wanting to just reach for something, and then they fail. They just drop down dead. They can't do anything else. It's wonderful.
It is wonderful.
It's the funniest thing you can do.
I like
that. It's the funniest thing you can do with your life is drop dead at the correct time. And in fact, the slightly funnier thing you can do is aim for that and fail at that as well.
That's very good.
It's like I set up my whole life as an incredible pratfall and then I just died whilst I was getting prepared. Whilst I was putting my hat on.
For your character show.
Yes, for your character show.
Television's good. It pays well.
Does it?
Yes. You haven't done it.
No. Clearly not.
It does.
It pays okay.
What are your standards? I used to work at WH Smith's. Like,
when I was CEO of WH Smith's, so I... television really doesn't pay very well.
Why
turn up and sit around for hours and then you just have to say something and it's terrible.
Why did you give up Smith's? It seemed like that was going really well.
It was going all right, but you know, I thought I'd move on to Pastors New, and people
podcast.
Were talking about this brand new thing, podcasting.
Oh right, yeah.
And I thought that would be wonderful. You have, of course, also found great success in a live show called Superfluous, the improvised discovery of a new superfluid. Where in every show, the audience suggests a location, and then you improvise you discovering a fluid with zero viscosity at that location.
What's so funny is we had no idea when we started it would be that successful.
No, I mean, it doesn't sound like a winning formula, does it? But...
And what we didn't realise, which obviously has worked for us, is that there are so many fans of superfluids.
Yes.
Like, America is a huge superfluid industry. Like, they come dressed in costume as superfluids.
Wow.
You know, and they're obsessed with it. You know, people write books about superfluids. So
and they can't stop moving, presumably, which makes it very difficult. And you tour that now, don't you?
We tour it all over the UK, yeah.
Do you find it gets tiresome in any way? Does it get repetitive? Do you get the same locations that superfluids might, you know, out of space?
Yeah.
Out of space? That's not a place. But you'd roll with it, presumably.
50 Shades of Liquid.
50 Shades of Liquid.
We get that a lot.
Yeah. Because of the book, 50 Shades of Liquid.
It's
odd where that franchise went, isn't it?
It's
50 Shades of Grey, 50 Shades Darker, 50 Shades of Liquid.
50 Shades of Gas.
50 Shades of Gas.
50 Shades of Noble Gases.
Yes.
And iodine.
There's almost... And iodine.
Yes. That
follow-up one.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's actually a separate book that you had to Velcro to the 50 Shades of
That's
Noble
right.
Gases.
And it's all about the mythology and the backstory of how the world they inhabited was created in the early days with the Titans and all of that.
But David, you're an improviser, so you know that we don't make it up. We just say the same thing.
Absolutely, yes. And you just have a system of cycling the nouns.
Yeah. And I would say to, you know, Joseph Mulpogo, who's in the initiative, I would just say, today you're going to do this thing that you did yesterday and I'll do the thing I did 2 weeks ago, but it will seem different.
Yes.
But we know it's the same.
Yes, we start on page 8 and just go round, and whatever noun we decide, that goes in. That goes in. And this conversation we're having is much the same.
Yes.
It's exactly the same
exactly
as I've done
same.
It every single time.
Yeah.
And occasionally I say superfluid. Does improvisation, do you think, have a future in on television, or do people just find it far too smug?
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't. Have
it doesn't.
Future.
Who? Why would you watch it?
I've no idea.
We watched Who's Line. We've seen them all.
Yeah, it's
I
done.
Can't see how it's going to happen again.
No.
So I think what happens is people like ourselves enjoy doing it to five people, and. It's something to tell your children when they think you're boring. You can go.
To prove you are.
Yes.
I did improv.
Yeah.
Stop crying.
I wish you would say that to her. At least you would have some communication.
She's asleep so often, and I'm worried it's the bag.
The bag's from Mothercare. How could it be bad if it's from Mothercare?
Yeah, but
I think you might get improvisation on television when people stop having televisions.
So the apocalypse. Yes. That might be what is the only thing left on television. Yes. When improvisers have stormed the studio and are broadcasting to no one.
Yes. And in a way,
it does sound like them.
Isn't that all improv?
In a way, yes, it is.
Yeah.
A wasteland of imagining you're talking to an enormous crowd when really you're no better than performing a one-man play to your parents. That is brilliant. What drives Carriad Lloyd? I mean, what makes you get up in the morning and go, I'm going to do a funny
fear.
Voice today?
Fear. Anxiety. Fear. Mm. Fear. Just fear.
A fear of fear.
I'm afraid of being scared.
Well, that is sensible. They say, there's nothing to fear but fear itself.
And
so you've taken that advice on board
and
now petrified at all times.
What drives anybody?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's what I'm hoping to find out at this. I mean, you know, aspiration,
I like
pride sometimes.
No, pride.
A desire to please others.
No, it's fear.
Loss.
Death.
Death drives people.
Yeah.
You know, to fill that void. You know, they just want someone who will never laugh again to laugh at you once.
Yes.
And so you keep going.
Exactly. I think what drives me is just not wanting to work at W.H. Smith's again. Or temp. I did an awful lot of temping. I temped everywhere, yes.
Where did you temp? Did you temp at...
I temped for investment bankers. I temped for a company that sold Viagra. I temped for... the investment bankers were the worst because that was during the crash. So they were all shouting. They all came out screaming on their mobile phones.
Wow.
Swearing.
And was it similar at the Viagra place?
The Viagra place had a giant picture of a pizza to advertise Viagra, which I can never get my
head
around.
Well, it's probably because they have difficulty showing what it actually does.
Yes.
Because if you put enormous erect penises on billboards...
Yes.
Who has been the most important person in your life, would you say?
Apart from me,
and we will talk afterwards. In terms of your career, who do you want to emulate in your life? Which comedian do you think is the person you'd go, I'd love that career?
You know Peggy Sayers?
No.
Oh. Well, it's a shame because she's very good.
Oh, wow. And she's the person you'd like to be. What happened to Peggy Sayers? Is she still
died.
With us?
She died.
And is that what you like about her?
Yes. I'm always looking for death in whatever capacity. Peggy Sayers was a Victorian music hall star who used to get one boob out and then dance a jig.
Right.
And at the same time, she'd cry.
Well, wouldn't you? I mean,
and people would
gone, why have I thought of this?
Yeah.
And why have I told people I'll do it?
Yeah.
People would
throw pennies. And she was just a marvellous performer, and she died on stage with her boob out while people were throwing pennies at her.
Oh, my God. My God.
Yeah. And then they just carried on throwing pennies, but she was dead, and so she couldn't grab
them. Did they ever stop?
No. She's buried underneath the
enormous
old Vic.
Pile of pennies.
No, yeah.
Enormous pile of pennies to this day, and this is the woman you want to emulate.
Yes.
You would like to
pennies
get a boob out, dance around, die, and then be...
But she lived her life as she wanted to.
I don't think she did. I think at some point in that process she was very much pressured into that. So Peggy, this will be great. Listen, I know you've said you'll do 10 minutes and you've prepared nothing, but I've got an idea for you. Why don't you get your boob out, dance around, do anything, no one will care.
Now you've mentioned it, can I change my mind?
No.
Oh.
Set in stone, that's going on the plaque.
Okay.
That's Peggy going
says.
On the plaque. If you could go back and give your younger self a single piece of advice.
Yes.
Would you tell her that time travel is possible?
I wouldn't, because then that would mean that time travel the would stop, wouldn't it? Time would slip because I have told her that, and then I wouldn't be able
to go back.
I don't know.
She might have been the one who...
that's true. Okay.
Who left it in a bush or whatever? Whatever's going to happen with time travel? I don't know. Can you leave it in a bush? I haven't been reading The New Scientist in a while. Can you leave time travel in a bush? Can you do that?
Yes, I think
so. For future generations to find?
Yeah, it's like when you leave your vodka in a bush for later.
Yeah, absolutely. It's probably very much like that.
Yeah.
The vodka that your future self gave you as a child.
Yeah.
And you go, no, I'm too young for this. I will leave it in a bush.
Yeah, and then you think, oh, I know what I'm going to do today. Go back, find that vodka.
And then go back in time and give it to my past self.
Yeah.
Where did that vodka come from? That is a paradox. I think. I've not read New Scientist in a while.
I would tell her that it's okay she didn't get into drama school. Mm.
You know you can still go to drama school.
No, once you're past 21, they don't let you in.
Really?
Yes.
How do the teachers get in?
They stop working.
Right.
Don't want to.
What do you think
off.
You missed out on not going to drama school? I think we found the heart.
Yeah,
of,
there's the heart
of why you're obsessed with death. To be honest,
yes.
I think if you'd gone to drama school, you would embrace life more and not want to emulate a woman who was murdered by an audience who, at best, were bemused by what she was doing.
That's why I connect with her.
Yes.
Because at best,
what do you think you missed not going to drama school?
I think I missed the Alexander Technique lessons.
Right.
They do. They give them Alexander Technique,
which is how to breathe properly.
No, it's how to stand and breathe.
Oh, is it?
It's not just breathe.
Sorry, of course.
David.
Well, I'm a man. I can't multitask in that way.
You didn't go to drama school.
I did not.
Otherwise, you would know instantly. You put a book under your head and you breathe and you stand.
You put a book under your head.
Yes, and then you stand.
Where your neck is.
Yes.
I mean, you clearly have to go to school for this because that makes no sense to me at all.
Exactly.
Well, maybe, Carrie Anne Lloyd, one day you will learn to put a book under your head. And
I've
breathe
tried.
And stand at the same time.
No.
And maybe then you'll be happy.
No comedian can breathe and stand correctly. They all have bad posture.
Who has the worst posture?
It's too difficult to say. Josh Widdicombe?
That's right, it's Josh Widdicombe. Carrie Anne Lloyd, thank you for letting
thank
us inside you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Inside the Comedian with me, David Reed. If you'd like to contribute towards the podcast, then please go to mrdavidreed.com and contact my agent with work. That really is the best way to do it.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.